Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Despite the music, I am excited for our next guest. He is the great Ron Slay, co-host of 3HL on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Yep, he's a Tennessee alum. But he was born in Memphis. He was born in Memphis. So, Ron, where did it go wrong, man? It started so well, and then when did you go from Memphis to, I guess you moved to Nashville? So how long were you here in Memphis?
Man, so I was in Memphis, man, probably a year, man. You know, my father's side of the family is from Covington, Tennessee, so we got roots down there, some Dysons running around down there. So that started there, and then I stretched all the way to East Tennessee. So I moved to Chattanooga with my mom's grandparents for about 7 or 8 years, and then I moved to Nashville with my mom. So I'm more of a Tennessee mutt, man. You know, I embody all of Tennessee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So there ain't no wrong doing,
Beloved all over the state then, too.
Yeah, no question, man. I got family roots and ties all through it, man. Sure.
Isn't it kind of crazy, though, how, like, and you would appreciate this because, like you said, you got people all over, like how different the state gets. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you got West Tennessee, you got Middleton, and it's like very different experiences in each of those places.
Yeah, it is, man. I always say, man, we're the closest thing you can get to the attitude of a Houston, Texas, or a California. But, you know, they think you're supposed to have your own state. Like, they can really say Nashville is its own state, East Tennessee is its own state, Memphis is its own state, all wrapped into one. So, hey, man, it is what it is. But the funny thing is, everybody, once you go and gang up against them, the whole state come together and ride against you. So you don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so look, man, we got to talk about this. We got to discuss this. I don't know that we're going to get that third year, that third game of Memphis, Tennessee, right? We all agreed, all right? We all came together to the table. We said, we're going to play three games. Now, I know Memphis had some COVID issues last year, but everybody had COVID issues, all right? It wasn't just Memphis. Yeah. So how can we come back together? And I'm not just talking about one more game. What do we have to do? What do we need to do to ensure that we play this game on an annual basis? Because is it not obvious that both teams and both programs should be playing annually at this point?
Man, I think it's missed, man. Like, I think all the way back to my playing days and before it, man. And then it don't even start with college. It starts with AAU. You know what I'm saying? The rivalry is thick, you know, between the players that grow up playing against each other. And then when they split up and one chooses University of Memphis and one goes to Knoxville, it's something else, man. Like, you got to have it. You know, I mean, I know it's some misunderstandings going on probably between the two schools, probably more so the coaches than anything else. But, you know, it's something that's needed, man. I think the best thing of it, man, is to have it at that neutral site. That was it, man. Like, they already went to Knoxville. They went to Memphis. It was supposed to happen in Nashville. I know the state was ready for it. And honestly, man, outside of the state, like the nation was looking forward to that game. So I think it's something that we got to try to come back together, have a seat at the table. I don't know if the chancellor's got to get together. We got to get the mayors together. We got to get somebody together and make it happen, man, because it's a fun rivalry, man, and there's nothing like being able to settle it on the court or on the field, either one.
Let me ask you this, Slay. In terms of Rick Barnes, how would you sum up the job he's done now there with that program over the 7 years? Because there's been a ton of success, and you can school me as the outsider, you know, looking in from Memphis, but it doesn't feel like he's as beloved as Pearl was. And I think if you look at the win percentages for Pearl, it was, what, 6 years and still better. He had the Elite Eight trip, the Sweet 16s. How do they compare, and how would you sum up how Barnes has done with the 7 years?
Man, first of all, I think Coach Barnes has done a great job by coming in and giving the stability. You know, once Coach Pearl left, you know, you had kind of a revolving door, whether that had been for NCAA infractions with Coach Tindall that he had to serve, or, you know, them, in a sense, running Kunzo out of there, you know, and yes. Him taking his talents to Cal and doing great things. But, man, you look at it, and they were starving for stability.
Right.
And then with the football program in limbo as it was, you needed something to hold on to. Lady Vols, they had a little bit of a revolving door, although Coach Holly Warlick, she tried to get it in order, you know, and did the best that she could. But now with the only thing you kind of had to lean on was Coach Barnes, in a sense. So regardless of the wins and losses, it was stability more than anything. And then it started to get the foundation of something you can grasp onto. You got guys like Admiral Grant Williams starting to lay a foundation, and everybody able to pick up off of it. So as far as that outlook, that's what we needed, you know, the stability. Now, when it comes to the wins and trying to get over the hump and, you know, get these championships, I think you look at it, man, and see where we come from outside of the Elite Eight run. You would have to date all the way back to my days when we were going to Sweet 16 runs, right, and things of that nature, and win the SEC championships. He was able to do that. So in the winning category, that was fine. And however long it took, we were okay with it. I think some of the times when you get to the tournament and you feel like you underachieved with the talent that you have, you also want to grab a low-hanging fruit. And I think the easiest thing to do is point at the coach, you know, and say it's the coach's fault. If you look at last year, that was a time they could have went a little further. They played Michigan, and that was just a situation. They just missed shots.
Yeah.
I mean, it was as simple as that. You know, it wasn't a thing about getting out coached or anything. So, I mean, you bring an SEC tournament championship, that I think that pacifies some things, because they haven't won that since the 70s, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you got that tournament championship. You got a couple SEC championships. And then you also keep beating Kentucky. You know, this is a situation where, you know, if you can go up and take care of Cal and he's not winning,
right,
I think you're okay. Now, the problem would lie if Kentucky starts picking it up and they go get one of those classes, kind of like Anthony Davis and them, and they run the table. And then I think, you know, you shift your focus a little bit, like, that ain't just quite enough. We need to get to that Elite Eight. We need to get to that Final Four. But right now, not saying that, you know, you want to sit back and say, you know, just making the tournament is okay. But you don't want to change out something and think the grass is green, and then you look up and you're rebuilding again.
I'm with you.
So, sort of, you know, related to that, what do you make of Memphis basketball under Penny Hardaway? What do you think about him, the job he's done? I mean, there has been no shortage, right, of controversy, but last year they break through, they get to the tournament, they're leading by 10 against Gonzaga at the half. What do you make of him as a college basketball coach and what he's doing at Memphis?
Man, I give Penny a hard time all the time just because of the rivalry, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to say this, man. I'm going to take my orange tinted glasses off and give you straight-up analysis, man. I ain't gonna play no favors or anything. I think that's the best thing that University of Memphis could ever do was hiring him. You know, I think it was a lot of pushback throughout the nation giving a guy a job that hadn't been really in the college ranks, you know, and I think that's just the old boy system. You know what I'm saying? Guys hating on him, and, you know, you ain't earned it. Yeah, yes, man. That man is from Memphis. Memphis grown. The kids respect him, and you need to be able to bridge a gap between the kids and also other people real quick, or other people that can get into that level of play. And he's a guy that relates to kids, and that's what you want. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was a great hire for him. I think Penny has come in, and he's mucked up the waters a little bit. You know what I mean? He's going out there recruiting, still bridging gaps. And I don't see number of great things coming from him, man. Honestly, you know, I was skeptical early in the season last year when he went and got the kid Imani Bates and how this situation went down. But I love how he righted the ship. And he got the veteran guys involved and let them, you know, kind of, we ain't giving you anything right here. And that's what Memphis is built on. You ain't getting anything. You got to go get it out the mud. And that's what I think he let those veterans go earn it and show these young guys, like Jalen Duran and those guys, like, hey, man, you got to come in here and play. And if that's the case, I think you're going to be in a great standing with the University of Memphis and in college basketball.
Do you think we'll see, if he continues to be successful, and like I said, you can't stand pat, you got to get around the corner, you got to get over the hump. But if he continues to be successful, if Juwan's successful, continues to be successful at Michigan, I know it hadn't gone well for Stackhouse, but he was certainly in a position to win. Do you think we'll see more of it, Slay, like more, okay, forget the status quo, the old school where you work your way up an assistant bench, you do it the old school way, where we'll see more guys coming from, right, the league, maybe with a little bit different backgrounds, maybe you were in grassroots, come and be head coaches in the college and get those opportunities, or you think these are one-offs?
Man. I sure do hope so, man, because one thing about it, man, we as an athlete, a former athlete, you kind of get a bad rap, man, as far as not being able to work your way up in the ladder, but you also have an opportunity to go play 13, 14 years professionally,
yes, sir.
And you can't trade that for anything. That experience right there is things you can't test out. You know what I'm saying? There's things you have to experience and go through. And I think all these guys offer that. You know, you're looking at guys like Rasheed Wallace and, you know, having those guys on staff, being able to pull to a Larry Brown, leaving the Stackhouse up here. Like, he's doing a great job, man. Now, how you get the kids to take your message and transfer it to the floor,
that's a totally different thing.
You know what I'm saying? But it's going to be people in place for that. But it's nothing like you can substitute for a mind of a Penny Hardaway, a Stackhouse, a guys of that next Juwan Howard. You can't substitute that, man. And I'm all for that. And hopefully I'm always cheering for him, even though I'm cheering on the inside. You know, I ain't cheering on the outside. But I'm cheering for my guys, man, to do great things, man. And I think Penny Hardaway and Stackhouse, when we're talking about just the state, we'll be able to get that done.
No, this is you're safe, man. You're good. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell us how you really feel here in Memphis, and this is not going to get back to your folks in Knoxville. Like, you ain't got to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got to worry. I was going to say, is there a part of you, Ron, that knows, like, I mean, look, you were a college basketball player once upon a time. Is there a part of you that is like, why is Penny doing this? Like, he could be doing anything in the world, and he's coaching college basketball in a time where it's like, it's harder because you have to, like, keep kids, you know, they can transfer now whenever they want. There's NIL, which Memphis is fine with. That's never been a problem, but, like, you know, the job description is much more difficult than it ever used to be, and Penny Hardaway has, like, hundreds of millions of dollars. He could be anywhere else in the world. Does it kind of, like, do you ever sit back and say, like, a guy like that, you know, why do that?
Oh, man, honestly, nah, because I know it's hard. You know what I'm saying? Guys like that, man, when I finished playing, I tried to go straight into coach and try to work my way up in the ranks. And one thing, it was the most difficult thing to do is leave a kid. Once you try to, because one, you have the kids have a BS detector, you know, and once you can break down that wall and you get in, like, you can't leave a kid, you know, once he's listening to you, man. And you got to imagine, man, these kids are coming from households like I came from, single parent households, a little low income, you know what I'm saying? So if you got something that you can reach back and you can touch and say, oh, man, I can get there, I want to be that beacon of light for you, and I think that's what Penny is. You know, that's exactly what it is. So, I understand totally why he's doing it. You know, you could be anywhere in the world, but it's something different. Like, when I leave the radio station and I go to the community centers or to the outside parks and hand out waters or go out there and shoot some hoops with them a little bit, you know what I mean, just to let them know, like, hey, man, I'm still one of y'all. You know what I mean? I'm here. Yeah, I had a 14-year pro career. I could be doing anything. I got to be out here. I can go home. I live in the suburbs. It's fine. But I need to be able to show y'all, man. You know, and that's what it was for me, being able to touch a guy like Anthony Mason, Carlos Rogers, Ronnie McMahon, like Charles Davis, all Ron Mercer, Dante Jones, all these people, man, that was in my community that kind of helped raise me in an unconscious way. You know, just them just being there meant a lot. So what Penny is doing, he's supposed to be there. You know what I'm saying? That's what was given to him when you date back to looking at Memphis State. You know, it was. I still call it Memphis State at times. You know what I mean? Because that's the essence of it. You know, it's different. It means something different than being put on that tiger and that blue and all that. Man, that's different, man. The Liberty Bowl, all that, that's history. Yeah. And for you to be able to reach back to these kids and let them know this is what it is, and he's the pride and joy, oh, no, you got to have it. I understand totally why he's doing it.
So, like, what did you think of Kennedy Chandler, the player, and what do you think of the fit with the Grizzlies? Because I'll tell you this, you had the dog in you. You know, you were a player that had the dog in him. You never questioned that. That's what we always said about Kennedy Chandler, especially on that defensive end. He's got the dog in him. What do you think of him in the NBA?
I mean, that young man is a problem. You know what I mean? I had to coach against him at Briarcrest, man, and our whole job was to try to keep the ball out of his hands. We would have won the game. Just keep it out of his hands. We had two people on him. Couldn't keep it out of his hands. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, he did have big Omar Thomas sitting screens for him, which was unfair. But, hey, man, and I've never seen but you rarely see it nowadays where you see a competitor try to go to the next level and anything that's a knock on him, he fixes it. You know, at first it was a question, can he shoot?
Yes.
He fixed it. Could you lead? He left and went to the Peace Jam and did his thing. Then went to Kansas City. What was it, Kansas City or Kansas?
Yeah, MoCan.
And went and led down.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Went to MoCan. So it's like, man, every time you question him, he ain't running from it. You know, you go to a guy like Rick Barnes who had point guards, man, and, you know, T.J. Ford was a guy who put him in a mind frame of, but that's going to challenge him. And he could have ran, you know what I'm saying, and been like, oh, man, he ain't letting me play my game. But he accepted the challenge, went on and manned up. And, man, you see, he was probably one of the top two or three point guards in the nation by the end of the season. So he's a guy, man, when you talk about dog, man, and his father, man, you look at his pops is a guy that – they instill him and his mom, they instill great things into him, and it just all shines out to him, man. And he's a guy that seems to be quiet, but that dog, man, is barking very, very loud when he's on that court. So I love everything he embodies. I'm a huge fan for him, and I think he's going to keep rolling.
We're talking to Ron Slay here on the show, co-host of 3HL 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, Tennessee Volunteer. Slay, I got to ask you, man, because I heard this many years ago. I don't even know if you remember it. But you were in town in a Memphis pro-am, and the rumor was that you were going back and forth with the King of Memphis, Joe Jackson. Do you remember this?
I do remember that, man. Y'all had me playing in the game up there. Y'all tried to sabotage me, man.
What was Joe saying, Slay? Was he saying, like, this is my building? Because y'all were at White Station, I think, his old high school.
Oh,
We were at White Station. Yep. But the thing is, man, I was
You wasn't going.
My bad, y'all. I'm at the doctor. The thing with that was, man, we were playing an alumni game, and Joe was talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a talker. And I know what the rivalry is. I know what Nashville is to Memphis. I know what Memphis is to Nashville. It's simple. So the whole thing was Joe had a little talk in him. I'm trying to tell him, I got family down here, man. You know what I mean? I'm your family, too. If you want to take it there, man, we can take it there in between these white lines. You know what I mean? When we get outside, man, we can go smoke cigars, have bourbon. We can do whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? But in these white lines, man, you a competitor. I'm a competitor. I'm Vol. You Tigers. Let's do it.
That's awesome. Hey, man,
Slay,
Ron,
this was awesome.
Yeah, we should do this more often, man. Appreciate your time,
Thank you, always.
Hey, man, y'all got me anytime, man. Say what's up to my people down there in Covington and in Memphis, man. Love y'all, man. And y'all, I'm all Vol, man, but I'm Tennessee through and through, man. So I'm repping the state, West Tennessee to East Tennessee. You know what it is.
Yes, sir.
Anytime,
appreciate you, Ron.
A pleasure.
Thanks, Ron.
All right, fellas.
Yep, he is Ron Slay, co-host 104.5 The Zone there in Nashville.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.